This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with all who are worshiping in this time, those who are joining us over live stream, and those who are here in the sanctuary. It is good to see your faces and to worship together. As we gather in this time of gathering, I would invite you to register your attendance and let us know you're here. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you would sign those and pass them down the row and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can click on that will allow you to register as well. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and how we are doing our best to serve God in our community, if you'll share an email address or a mailing address, that will give us a chance to reach out to you and begin that relationship with you. If you've been visiting for a while and prayerfully have considered becoming officially a member of the church, we do have a membership class that is starting this week. It will be on the four Wednesday nights in April, over Zoom from 6 to 7, and you'll find in your bulletin information about how to sign up for that membership Zoom class. A few other announcements as we gather today. This afternoon from 4 to 6, we have an art opening event up in the four-story theater. We have artwork centered around Earth Month, and there are artists from our congregation and from the community who have done works of art around the beauty of creation. We invite you to come and be part of that opening. Then on Thursday at noon, we have one of our Lenten concerts, and this week our very own Andrew Reisinger will be playing the organ for us. There is lunch afterwards, and we ask you to RSVP and let us know so we can count you in those numbers for lunch. For families with children, we want you to know that you are invited next Saturday to the Easter egg hunt here at the church on the grounds from 9:45 to 11:15, and also to just put a mark on your calendar for June 27th through 30th. That's Vacation Bible School. It will be from 5 to 8 in the evening this year. Our Children's Council has decided to give that a try, so put that on your calendars, and those of you who are interested in volunteering, those opportunities are already open online. Finally, I just want to thank all of you for your words of sympathy this morning and to let you know that my marriage is still intact after Duke's loss to Carolina last night. I'm a Duke graduate. David is a graduate of the University of North Carolina Law School. So we are mature enough to handle these things, and all is well. So thank you for your sympathy. I appreciate the love and care I receive in this congregation. And that's joking, but actually our theme for this morning is love one another as Christ has loved us. How do we be a community of love and nurture for one another? Let that question be before us as we gather in this time of worship.
Thank you. Jesus has given us a new commandment.
We are commanded to love one another.
Just as Christ loved us. By this, everyone will know we are Christ's disciples. Come, may we join our hearts in worship. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way feels most comfortable to you. And if you're joining us online, you can exchange the peace in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ, you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may be witnesses to your great love, poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God.
I would like to have a moment with the children. So if you are here in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, we've got this railing closed because of communion, so you have to go all the way around this way. And if you're worshiping at home, just come a little closer to your screens. We'll wave to you. Good morning. Come on up. So glad to see all of you. Good morning, good morning. Yay, welcome. Well, Mr. Patrick just read for us one of my most favorite stories in all the Bible. Jesus was with his disciples, and they were sharing their dinner together with the Last Supper. And Jesus got up and went around, and he washed all of their feet. Now, that may sound a little strange to us, because we don't really do that these days anymore. But back in Jesus' day, it was really important that someone wash their feet when they go to eat dinner, because they wore sandals and the roads were dirty and they needed to have them cleaned before they could gather with a group. But usually it was someone who was like not invited to the dinner who actually washed their feet. But Jesus said, "I want to wash your feet because I want to serve you and I want to love you." And some of the disciples were like, "But Jesus, I don't like my feet. They're dirty and I'm embarrassed by them and I'd rather hide them from you." But Jesus said, "I want to wash your feet because I love all of you and there's nothing you need to hide from me or be ashamed of." And so that reminds me that Jesus loves us so much. Jesus loves everything about you and there's absolutely nothing that you need to hide from God. God will always love you and love every single bit of you. So I hope that you feel that complete love. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for Jesus and the way he showed his love to his disciples and the way that you love us. You love every single bit of us. And there's nothing we ever have to hide or be ashamed of because you love us completely. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. One of the things that makes me so happy about life at West End right now is the number of children that we get to see and celebrate in the children's moment and in all of the baptisms we've had the privilege of celebrating together. Seems like at least twice a month we are celebrating a baptism of a child and sometimes of a grown-up together as a congregation. It's funny, over the years of ministry, as I've talked with parents who are preparing to bring their children, their infants especially, for baptism, they're always worried that the baby's going to cry. Oh, what if they start crying? What do we do? Especially at the 11 o'clock service when, you know, they're getting tired and hungry and it's easy to get a little cranky this time of day if you're a baby. And I always try to reassure them. First of all, anyone in the sanctuary or worshiping with us who's been a parent knows exactly how you feel. We've all been in the grocery store or in some public moment when our baby has started crying, and there's just nothing you can do about it. But secondly, in the church, that's a great sound. The fact that we have little ones who are being brought forward for baptism is a joy and a privilege. It really is a powerful moment for us. It's in the congregation. It is a joy for all of us, but it's more than that. When someone comes for baptism or brings their child for baptism, it's not just a joy, it's a responsibility for us as a congregation. Because you see, we take a vow too in that moment of baptism. Baptism is really, and you know this already, is a three-part covenant. The first part is what God does. Baptism is a sign of what God has already proclaimed about us, that we are completely loved and claimed and named by God. It is a sign of God's unconditional love, a sign of what we Methodists like to call God's prevenient grace that goes before us, before we understand it, before we deserve it, before we claim it. It already is. And so that's part one of the baptismal covenant. Another part of the baptismal covenant is the one being baptized or the family that's presenting them. They are answering questions of the faith and promising, if it's a child, to raise their child in the church and in the faith until the day when that child confirms those vows for themselves. That's what confirmation is about. But the third member of this covenant is us, the body of Christ, the congregation. We take a vow, too, every time there's a baptism. If you've been present in some of these baptisms, you'll recognize this language. We turn to the congregation and ask, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child, include this person now before you, in your care? Will you nurture and include? And then the congregation responds, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this new person with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. And it goes on. There is so much to unpack in all of that. And it's a communion meditation, so I've got to keep it short. But I want to encourage you to ponder these words for yourself. And the next time we take part in a baptism, to let these words sink in and think about how they shape us as a people. Will you nurture and include? Will you live according to the example of Christ? Will you surround this new person and surround each other with a community of love and forgiveness? I can't think of a better example that Christ puts before us of nurturing and including than this moment in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. These disciples who are gathered around the table with Jesus have been with him for 3 years. They have followed him from Galilee through Judea to Jericho and Bethany and Jerusalem. They've been alongside him as he has poured himself out in love and ministry, healing and teaching and welcoming and including and confronting and all of those things that Jesus did. They've been right there alongside of him. But in this moment, in John 13, Jesus has gathered them, and he is nurturing them, which is a good reminder that as much as we are inspired and encouraged to be out in the world in ministry, we also need to come back again and again to be filled and nurtured by God's grace through this community of faith. And the way he nurtures them after feeding them the bread and the wine is to go around the table, to shed his power and status, to take on the role of the most menial servant in the household and kneel down to wash their feet one by one. Someone reminded us in Bible study that to gather at the table, these disciples would have been reclining with their faces and maybe their elbows at the table, but their feet are behind them. Because you don't want to see each other's feet while you're eating. And when Jesus comes to wash Peter's feet, he's like, no, you can't, don't touch my feet. I'm not worthy. You shouldn't be doing this. You're my Lord. But Jesus says, this is what love is all about. I understand Peter in that moment, and I understand those disciples feeling a lot more comfortable with their feet being far from everybody else's eyes. I think we can be that way in the church sometimes. Sometimes we tell ourselves, we convince ourselves that when I come to church, I got to be at my best. I got to put on my shining face. I have to smile and pretend like everything's okay. I don't want people to see my brokenness, my vulnerability, my shame, my needs, my grief, my doubts. Let's just pretend that all is well and keep that other stuff hidden. But here we have Jesus cradling the dirty, calloused, cracked feet of each disciple and washing them clean and reminding us that it's really those vulnerable places within us that connect us most deeply in love. We heard that last year when we were having some of those Project Thrive conversations. Those first questions that we asked in those first conversations, what brought you to West End? Why did you stay? When did you first realize that West End was your church family, your spiritual home? And we heard story after story of people feeling surrounded by a community of love and forgiveness. A community that loved them in their moments of brokenness and grief and loss. Someone told a story of he had just started visiting with his family and just come to a Sunday school class a few times, and his father died. And the visitation was at least an hour away, and he was standing there greeting people when he saw half of his new Sunday school class come in the door to surround him with a community of love in that moment. Another woman told a story of when she lost her husband at a young age, and she would come to church and cry through the whole service and be worried about the fact that she was crying. But people came beside her, put their arm around her, handed her Kleenex, and she said, this church family loved me through my grief. How many times have we heard someone say to us, I was crying in church, I was so embarrassed, I don't want to cry in church. No. If you can't cry in church, where can you cry? This is the place, the community, where we can bring our tears and bring our vulnerability and be cradled and held and nurtured and to love one another as Christ has loved us. We have nothing to hide from God or from one another. So we promise to nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and to include the new person that walks through the door or that is brought into our midst, whoever they are, No matter how different their story is from us, or their experiences, or their perspectives or opinions, to make room always, continually, for the people God will bring to us and for those we might encounter and find on our own journeys. I don't know if you've ever been the new person, or if it's been a while since you've been the new person trying to enter into a community, whether it's to join a dinner group that's already been together for a while, or a Sunday school class, or a group of friends. And they nurture each other really well. They know each other's stories. They have all these inside jokes, but they're not so good at welcoming the new. And it's not always easy to be the stranger. But in the church, as the body of Christ, we are called to do both, to know each other, to belong, to nurture one another, and to include the new. And so how do we do that as a community of faith? One of the things that blows my mind about Jesus' inclusion in this story is that as we think about all those disciples around the table, do you know who was there? Judas was there. And Jesus already knew what Judas was planning to do. And yet he knelt down at Judas's feet and cradled them and washed them. I have to wonder if Jesus was trying to let Judas know that he was already forgiven. He was already covered with love and grace. And Jesus wanted Judas to know that the door would always be open, no matter what. If Judas ever would come back, he would be received in love. Tragically, he didn't come back. But that's the kind of radical love and forgiveness and inclusion that Jesus offered to his disciples and then commanded them to offer one another. That is a high bar set for us, my friends. If we are to be the church, this is who Jesus commanded us to be. But you know, as we consider how much that stretches us, we can remember how our vows in baptism begin. We start off by saying, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. With God's help. We can't do it on our own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God's grace, we can move ever more to that kind of love that Jesus calls us to and that he sets an example for as he washes the disciples' feet. I'm so grateful for the ways that this congregation already surrounds each other with a community of love and forgiveness. I'm grateful this is a place where new people can feel welcomed and do. And I'm grateful that we are all committed to do that better through the power of God's grace. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. May it be so at West End United Methodist Church. May it be so in every church. Amen.
One of the ways that we nurture one another and nurture our faith is by professing our faith openly. And so I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal, and proclaim with me our beliefs as stated from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share your prayer request with the pastoral team, you can put it on the gray card in the pew rack in front of you, and put that card into one of the offering boxes that's either in the narthex or on your way to Reed Hall. This morning, our deepest sympathies are extended to two families. Longtime West End member Eloise Bloat passed away on March the 28th. At the time of this publication, service plans have not been finalized. And there will be a visitation with the family of John Schachter. This is Linda London's father. On Friday, April 8th, from 3:30 to 5 p.m. here in Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving and humble teacher, we hear that you wash the disciples' feet. And here we are in a world which is daily broken by foolish arrogance of men and women just like us. So we pray for healing, and we pray for humility to flood every corner of our world. Wherever there is exploitation and God-imaged people dehumanized, bring your justice. Wherever there's neglect and the needs of the poorest are ignored, pave a way so that all people have enough. Where there is disdain and the sacred value of creatures and earth are being denied, cover their bodies and this world with dignity. Wherever there is violence and war takes lives and livelihoods, infuse your peace. Wherever people are tempted to think of themselves as better than others, more worthy, more deserving, or more important to you, may your humility break in and challenge us, reminding us of our brokenness and need, and teach us to serve and to love everyone with grace and humility that you showed toward us. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, as we come to a time to give our offerings and tithes, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you're able and feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you can click on the options in the chat or on the screen. And for those of you worshiping here in person, there's little envelopes in the pew racks in front of you, and you too can put those in the boxes I mentioned before in the Narthex and Reed Hall. All that we have comes from God and belongs to God. So let us give with joy and love.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. In love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, your love remained steadfast. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Easter feast, that, renewed by your word and sacraments, and fervent in prayer and works of justice and mercy, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for those who love you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to redeem the world. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and knelt before his disciples to wash their feet. He gave them a new commandment, to love one another as he himself had loved them. And then he journeyed to the cross for us all. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered together, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. I invite you now to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. My family in Christ, this is the body of Christ, broken, that our brokenness might be healed. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, the cup of grace, poured out for you and for me and for all. The table is now set. This is not the table of this congregation or of the United Methodist Church. It is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he is our host, and everyone is welcome at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, just a few words of instruction so you'll know how we do that together. Our choir will make their way first to the altar rails, and then those of you in the transept and balcony, we welcome you to come forward and begin making your way forward as the choir is gathering. And then those in the nave, the center part of the sanctuary, will follow. We invite you to come down these center aisles and to make your way all the way around the rails. Don't be shy about coming all the way around to the sides and then head back to your pews along the side aisles. As you come to the altar rail and kneel as you're able, we invite you to have your hands open so our servers will know that you have yet to be served. After receiving the elements, you're welcome to stay and kneel in prayer as long as you would like. We are not in a hurry, and this is a precious time for all of us. As you come forward, the elements you'll be receiving, all of the bread is gluten-free. And as you come forward, there's always an opportunity to make a second mile gift to our missions in this church. And this month's communion offering will go to support the Wesley Foundations, the college student ministries at Fisk, TSU, Belmont, and our own Vanderbilt, where Nancy is the campus minister there and chaplain. So we want to support the spiritual growth and development of our college students in our community, and this is a way that you can do that. Also, as we are serving communion up here, if you are unable to come forward or would rather stay in your seat, you can receive one of these prepackaged elements of communion, also gluten-free, and Stacy will be making her way along with me around the sanctuary, so just wave to us and let us know you need that in your seat. It is time for us to come to be nurtured, surrounded by God's grace and God's love at Christ's table. So come, you are welcome. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for what we have received this day. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. We have been together in the presence of God's love and grace. We have come to the table to be fed and nurtured, to have our feet washed by our Lord and Savior. And now we go out into the world filled with that love to share it with all in Christ's name. Amen.